people crying, looking on, a man would think it tragedy. But what this world could not see was when they nailed him to that tree, it would break the chains of sin's captivity. Love grew where the blood fell. Flowers of hope sprang up for men in misery. Sin died where the blood fell, and I'm so glad His precious blood has covered me. Thorns of violence and hate were growing wildly, and the pain that they had caused was plain to see. But when that blood came streaming down the cross where my Jesus bled and died, it started blossoms of forgiveness flowing free.
Say amen.
Amen.
I'm glad for the blood of Jesus Christ. Cleanse us from all sin. All right, take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 38, the book Psalms, chapter 38 this morning. Brother Roy, ringing, please. Psalm 38. We'll look at a verse of scripture here in the 38th Psalm, bringing a message on the subject, the heavy load of a sinful life. A man's going to live in sin, he's going to pay a price for it. You don't get something for nothing. The only thing you get that's free is salvation. And salvation's free, but it ain't cheap. There was a price paid for it, and the Lord Jesus paid that price. And you don't get nothing for nothing. You're going to pay for everything. If you choose to live a sinful life, you're going to pay for it. In Psalm 38, look at verse number 4. For mine iniquities are gone over my head, and as an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. He didn't say they is heavy. He said they is too heavy. If I were to bend over here this morning, like this, I said, all right, boys, put that pool pin back. I believe, I don't know how much it weighs, but I believe that I could stand up under the weight of that pulpit. Probably wouldn't feel good. Probably wouldn't make it long, but I believe I could. And I could just stand like this and lay it. That'd be a load on my back. But then let's say I walked over here with that thing on my back like this. And about 10 or 12 of these guys got around that piano. All right, Brother Denny, we're going to add on a little bit and turn that piano up and put it on top of that. There wouldn't be much left to me but a greasy spot. I couldn't hold up that pulpit and that piano. I'm sure I couldn't. You might be able to, but sooner or later, if they kept piling stuff on you, you'd collapse. Here's a man in the Bible that said, my iniquities, he said, I've got so many sins, they're too heavy for me. I'm carrying on such a load. Did you know sin this morning is a heavy burden? There are people in this room today that are carrying a very heavy load. I hear it all the time. People meet me on the street and they'll say, preacher, I need to talk to you. And I'll say, okay, we'll sit down in the car a minute. They'll say, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I'm drinking liquor. I'm running around on my wife. I'm lying, I'm stealing, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And they'll say, I'll say, man, won't you get it right with God? Won't you come to church? Get rid of all that junk. It'll ruin you. And they'll say, I've got a lot on me right now. Have you ever heard anybody use that phrase? Well, I've just got a lot on me right now. What do they mean by that? Like I thought that pulpit laying on my back. They're carrying something. They say, I'm carrying a lot right now. Yeah, and you're carrying a whole lot more than you realize. Sin is such a weight that no man's able to bear it. It makes the stoutest heart to ache and the strongest back to stoop sooner or later. You can't stand up under a load of sin forever. You finally collapse with it. I heard about a preacher one time, and he's up on an old box. He's out preaching somewhere and he's standing up on an old box and he's preaching, you're carrying a heavy burden. Bring it to the Lord. And this old young boy walked by, and he was kind of a smart aleck type fella, and he looked up to the preacher and he said, you talk about sin being a heavy load. I don't feel any load. I don't feel anything. And the preacher said, yeah, and you take this 30-pound rock here and there to the funeral home and find a dead corpse stretched out on a slab, and lay that 30-pound rock on that dead corpse chest, will that dead corpse feel anything? And the boy said, no, he can't, he's dead. And that preacher said, that's why you can't feel it. You're a corpse. You're a dead man. You're dead in trespasses and sin, and don't even realize the load you're carrying around. You know, I never realized the load I was carrying until I got saved. You're dead in sin. When I was 16, 17, 18, I was in sin. And I was in sin like most boys my age. And I was running up and down the road and I carried a heavy load. The night I got saved at Nebo Baptist Church, it was just like you had took this pulpit and took it off my shoulder. I just felt real light and I felt free and happy inside, because sin is a load. It's a heavy load. It's not a joke. It's not something we just come up here and talk about on Sunday. It's real. And it'll cause a heavy, heavy load upon your life. I heard about a man who testified. He said he run from God. He drank. He was miserable. But when he got saved, it felt like an enormous weight had been lifted off of his chest. Sin lies in the bosom of every person to crush them to pieces. It's grievous. It's worse than just your arms or your legs. It's a heavy weight you're carrying around with you. And if you're here this morning, your life's in sin. You don't understand what I'm talking about. Let me try to point out to you several things that make your load very hard to carry. First of all, there is the heavy load of making decisions. You know, one of the hardest things about life is making decisions. Where are you going to live? Where are you going to work?
Should I quit my job? Should I take this other offer over here? How should I steer my kids? Where are my kids going to college? Who will I marry? All of those are decisions that people are faced with. I don't like them any more than you do. But for 15 years now, I've had some help and guidance on my decisions. When I come to make a decision, I just ask the Lord, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? And I can see through the Scripture. You say, well, does God talk to you, Brother Danny? He don't talk to me like I'm talking to you, but He talks to me. I mean, He can tell you what He wants you to do, and He can show you, and He can cause circumstances to work out, and He chooses to do it that way. I tell you, it sure is a blessing when we were going to build this church building here. You know, we looked for land for a long time, and I went around town, we'd look at property, and it seemed like every place we would look at, it just wouldn't work out. And we began to deal with the FCX here about building a church here on this property, and boy, I tell you, I'd get down and I'd think, man, this is it's a big step. You're talking about over all total land, way on up there in the money, man. Way on up more figures than I'm even able to comprehend. And I began to think about that. And I thought, well, should we or shouldn't we? And there's no use talking to people when something like that comes up, that's for sure. Because some of them will say yes, and some of them will say no. Some of them say, yeah, it's a good idea. Some of them will say, you're crazy, it can't be done. And I heard all of that kind of talk. But oh, I sure was good to be able to go to God and say, now, Lord, You've saved me, and You love me, and this is Your church. You show us what You'd have us to do. It's a blessing the Lord to help you to make decisions. I forgot about them days back when I didn't have Him. I forgot about having to live my life when I don't know how you people stand it that have to go through your life not having the Lord to help you make your decision. I don't see how you make it. How terrible it would be to live in this generation with all the problems we've got and all the difficulties we've got and our finances about to go down the tube and our national budget in a terrible shape. We can't even pay the interest on the bills that we owe. Presidential election coming up. AIDS across the nation. All of these things coming across. And you don't have God to help you. I don't see how you live from day to day. You carry a mighty, mighty heavy load. You're thinking about the pressure of college and your marriage and the decisions you have to make about a home and where to live and where to work. You carry a mighty, mighty heavy load having to make all them decisions all by yourself. Secondly, the heavy load of problems. Did you know a lot of people's got problems? Even Christians? But an unsaved man, a man who's not a Christian, don't have anybody to turn to with his problems. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, when you get a problem, the only thing you got to turn to is a liquor bottle. The only thing you've got to turn to is a golf course. The only thing you've got to turn to is another woman or another man or a bullet from a gun. And you say, I can't handle my problem. Wow, you know, or I can't handle my problems. I'll go out and get drunk or I'll drink my problems away. You know why? Because you are carrying a heavy load and you're looking for something to relieve that load you're carrying. And that's why you do them things. You've got a heavy, heavy load on you. Some people have a car accident, have hospital bills and problems on top of problems, and don't even have board to be able to call upon. Can you imagine? Listen, I hear a lot of Christians whining around nowadays about how pitiful they are and how hard they have it, and I've done it myself, and I guess we all do it from time to time. But you think about this. Did you know there's people out there this morning that some of them have cancer, and their kids are in trouble? They're up there in jail waiting on a prison sentence where they've been busted for cocaine. And their husband is out running around on them with another woman. And they pay their light bill. And they can't pay their house payment. And they can't pay... And don't even have God to turn to. You think about that. My soul, I don't see how they stand it.
I remember reading about old George Miller, and they were out in the Atlantic Ocean, and the ship hit the fog. He had to be in a certain city by a certain time, and the captain said, "It's impossible." They said, "We're in this storm. We're in this fog." And he said, "It's absolutely impossible that we could be in our destination by Saturday." George Mueller said, "I've known God for many years." He said, "I've known Him for 57 years. He's never let me down yet. Let's pray." He got down and said, "Dear God, get this that fog cleared out." That ship sailed on through. They made it to their destination. You know why? Because there was a man who had God to turn to in his problem. Now, your problem here this morning, some of you, you don't even have God to turn to when you've got a problem. You have a death in the family. You have someone have cancer. You have something come up terrible. You don't have nobody to turn to but a stupid liquor bottle or a dumb beer can. And you think, "Well, here's the answer to my problem." That's not the answer to your problem. That's making your problem worse. You've got a heavy load and don't realize it. Let me ask you something. Here's an old lady going out to the graveyard. She looks there and there's an open grave. Outside there's some friends of the people friends of the family walking around, and in that box lays the corpse of her husband, who was her companion for 50 years. They nearly grew up together. They sat on the farm. They talked and laughed and sat on the front porch on rocking chairs for years, and there he lays. And there goes her husband down in that old cold ground. They take shovels and begin to shovel that dirt on top of that casket. There's that dear lady standing there watching her husband. She thinks all the good times we've had, the times we've laughed and talked and raising the kids, times when we didn't know if we was even going to be able to pay our bills. Somehow we made it all the way through. And now, Lord, here I'm going to have to go home by myself, and I can't farm, and I can't feed the cows, and I can't even keep the old place up. And God, it just feels like such an empty spot in my heart. Let me ask you something, friend. What good can science do her? Suppose a scientist comes by and says, "Oh, ma'am, cheer up. We sent a man to the moon not long ago, and we're getting ready to send another Apollo spacecraft up in outer space, and we're working on the cure for the common cold." That ain't going to help that dear sister. She needs God. And I'm telling you folks here this morning that every single one of you in this building will someday soon face a situation where science and education or religion or your looks or your bank account can't do you one bit of good. You're going to need God. You're going to need God. You may not need Him this morning, you think. You may not feel like you even need God this morning. But the day will soon come when you'll say, "God, I need you. Where are you?" And it'll be hard for you to find God in those hours, because you won't seek Him now while everything's going good and while things are all right at your house and while you and your husband are getting along. You won't seek God while everything's going good. And so God will be hard for you to find when everything's going bad. The heavy load of facing death, number three. You know, it ain't no wonder death's such an unpopular subject. It's no wonder death's articles sell like hotcakes on the magazine rack. It ain't no wonder, folks. You know how them old magazines make their living? By getting juicy gossip and adulterous stories on people and telling you what's beyond the grave. Every other day you go in the grocery store, one of them says, "Scientists find out at last life beyond the grave really exists." And them people been saying that for years, finding out at last. But every 2 months they find it out at last. And they've been saying over and over and over, "We found it out. Life after death. Life after death." You know why? Because people know deep down inside they're going to kick a bucket one of these days. And you talk about a load. Let me let you think about something. Did you know unless the Lord Jesus comes, every one of us in here are going to die? Now you think about that, son. That's a heavy load. We're going to die. Oh, preacher, when I come to church, I think you ought to say something to make me feel good. All right, I'm getting ready to say it. You're going to kick a bucket pretty soon. Now, that'll make you feel good if you're living right. If you ain't living right, you don't need to feel good. Sir Francis Newport said this. He was the head of an infidel club. And he was laying on his deathbed, and he's getting ready to die. And Buddy is alive there. And all his friends were gathered around him and said, "Don't worry about it, Sir Francis. Everything's all right. You're going to make it. Everything's going to be cool." And they're trying to comfort him in his death. And he looked up and said these words, quote, "You need not tell me there is no God, for I know there is one, and that I am in His angry presence. You need not tell me there is no hell, for I already feel my soul slipping into its fires. Wretches, cease your idle talk about there being hope for me. I know I am lost forever." And all through his life he said there's no God and there's no hell. And while he was dying, he was screaming that he was going. Huxley, the famous infidel on his deathbed, said this: "Communism has nothing to offer. Neither does science, education, or religion. When a man faces death with no God, that's a heavy, heavy, heavy load. I don't see how you're going to stand it. I can't imagine having to die and not know the Lord was with me." But that's the life some of you are living. You'll go out there this morning and get in your car because you're too stubborn to get saved. And you'll go out there in your car and ride home knowing that some drunk could hit you on the way home and you could go into eternity and die without God. And you go around living like that day after day. I don't see how you stand it. Number four. The crushing load of facing eternity. How horrible to think of the weight of eternity in hell. No wonder people try to be atheist. Listen, folks, when you really get thinking about this thing, it ain't no wonder a lot of people want to be an atheist. My Lord, if I thought I was going to go to hell and burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and never get out and never die, brother, that's enough to make a man want to be an atheist and hope it ain't true. If there's a real hell, of course, you know what I mean when I say that. I know there is. I know the book says there is, and there is. And brother, that place is real. Man, be a fool to want to go there. And you talk about a load. You know why these people are out saying, "Hell, there ain't no such place as hell. Don't preach on hell. Don't give me that fire and brimstone stuff. I don't want to hear that. I believe in heaven, but not in hell. There ain't no hell. There's no such place as hell." You know why they're saying that? Because they're scared deep down inside them that they're going there. And they're trying to convince theirself that there's no such place. But I want to serve notice on you today, my friends. The very same book that tells you there's a heaven. The very same book that tells you Jesus Christ died on a cross. Tells you there's a hellfire where people burn and can't die and torment forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Oh, you say, "Preacher, that's just somebody's interpretation." That ain't no interpretation. That's what the book says. And the sooner we face that, the better off we'll be. Hey, when you start thinking about it that way, there's no such thing as a man who's a success. I don't care if he's got $1 million in the bank. I don't care if he lives in a mansion. I don't care if he drives a solid gold Cadillac. I don't care if he's on every front page of every magazine in Hollywood. If that man is not saved and goes to hell when he dies, he's a failure and a flop in life. Lord, it ain't no wonder they stay drunk. It's no wonder they shoot up dope in their arms every day of their life. Think about they got a face when they die. Oh, you say, preacher, I don't believe that. When you die, it ends all. Yeah, it ends all right. It ends all your chances for doing evil. It ends all your joy in this life. It ends all your projects. It ends all your plans. It ends all your friendships. It ends all the gospel you'll ever hear. And when you die, you'll never get a chance to get saved again. I heard of this fella who was in prison, had venereal disease, his brain was deteriorating, walking back and forth. Saying, no hope, no hope, no hope. You know something? You may think you have it rough here this morning if you're a Christian, but I can tell you about some people. What if you was in a cell about as big as the highest platform up here with bars on it that big around? They locked you in, stuck your meals in a little slot, and you sat there and eat them every day and looked at four walls and had AIDS and no God and gonna die and go to hell when you leave here. I don't see how people stand that. I don't see how anybody can stand that. That's why they're beating their brains out on them walls. That's why they'll take a fork and stab themselves, or their underwear and tie it around their neck and hang themselves from the bars. My God, folks, what a heavy load some of them's carrying. And some of you here this morning, you say, well, I ain't in jail, I don't have a... Yeah, but you got them old sins on you by the thousands. And you're like that little boy I heard of who was 14 years old. And somebody said, boy, you got a lot on you, ain't you? And he said, I ain't got much to worry about. I'm only 14. I ain't done that much bad. And they set him down one day and they said, well, let's see here now if you've done bad. Would you say you've committed on an average of 3 sins a day? He said, yeah, I believe I could say that. I believe I've committed 3 sins a day, surely. A lot more than that most days, but on an average, at least 3 sins a day. And the man said, all right, that's over 1,000 a year. You're 14 years old. That's 14,000 sins on you. If you're here this morning and you're 18, you got at least 18,000 sins that you're going to carry around with you unless you get out with God. 18,000. If you're here and you're 50 and you're not saved, you probably got over 100,000 sins to answer to God for. And one of these days, we die, the Lord's going to say, all right, what about that and what about that? And He's going to start back when you was 4 and 5 years old and bring it all up to date. And you're going to bear it. That's a heavy load, brother. That's a heavy load. Now, I'm going to tell you what makes the difference in life, whether you enjoy it or not, and I'm through. Let's say that there's an airplane taking off from Atlanta, Georgia, me to Los Angeles. Let's just look down through there and we'll see, pick out 3 people on that plane. Here's a young lady. Here's a young man. Here's another young man. They're all on the same plane, going the same direction from Atlanta to Los Angeles. But let's talk to them for a minute. One young man sitting there, and you say, sir, or this young lady, where are you going? She says, why do you ask? When she turns around, she's got tears running down out of her
her eyes. And she begins to wipe them with her handkerchief. And you say, ma'am, where are you going? And she said, my brother's died and he lives in California. I'm on my way to the funeral. You turn to the young man and say, young man, where are you going? He says, I'm in the army. I'm going for my training. I'm going to have to meet up there and go through some things. I had to leave my mom and dad back home. A tear starts coming out of his eye. You turn to this young lady and said, young lady, where are you going? She says, it's the greatest day of my life. I'm going to be married. And my fiance is waiting on me. And I've been back home to get some things. And we're going to that. And she's just all excited. And she can't wait to get there. Now listen, all three of them sitting on the same airplane, left the same time, going to arrive the same time. But destination makes the difference on whether you enjoy the ride or not. Now all of us are going on the same boat, folks. We're passing across the scene. We're right here in McDowell County. We're cruising through. You know what makes the difference between and an unhappy man? Where he's going. Where he's going. Here's somebody that says, praise God, hallelujah, I'm saved and on my way to glory. Woo! Amen! They're enjoying the trip. You know why? Because look where they're going. Here's some of you sitting here like, ugh, I'll be glad when he gets through. I hate life. Why do I even have to live? It's because you're lit going on a miserable, miserable trip. Destination makes a difference. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads for prayer and Christians to pray. Maybe there's somebody here this morning. While we get ready to have an invitation, maybe there's somebody here this morning. Say, Brother Danny, I'm carrying around a very, very heavy load. Are you carrying a heavy load this morning? I'll tell you how to get rid of it. Get rid of them sins. That's what weights you down. Get your life right with God this morning. As God spoke to you, we're going to pray, stand, sing just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. You ought to just get out of your seat and say, God, I've carried this load around long enough. I'm going to do something about it. Dear God, please, Lord, speak to somebody's heart right now. Please. Oh, God. Help that man, that woman, that boy, that girl who's carrying around a heavy load to surrender it all to Jesus this morning. And we'll push you forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, you need to come. Just get right out of your seat where you stand this morning. Make your way down here to this altar. Come, somebody be here to pray with you. Let's lay it at the feet of Jesus today. You don't have to carry that heavy load anymore. Won't you come? Won't you come right now? Come on.
Just as I am.
Amen. Somebody come pray with this man.
Without one plea.
Just get out of your seat and come. Let the Lord help you this morning. Amen.
Wash it for me.
Would you come?
And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb.
Amen.
Of God I come.
Amen.
I come.
Let's sing another verse while these are praying. Been praying. Somebody else. Somebody else need to come.
Waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot.
Amen.
To thee,
need to come. Come on right now.
Blood can cleanse each spot, O Lord.
we'll stop right there. Till we'll just kind of unhook till after a while. All of our ushers to meet me up here, right after the service. I want you to, youth choir, all the young people, 5:30 now, sharp, be here ready to go. And then everybody else be in the service tonight, okay? All right. God bless you. You're at liberty.